in the book of Matthew, if you don't mind going there in the book of Matthew, we'll be looking at chapter 26, and we're going to share together verses 31 through verse 46, and we're going to be talking about something extremely important that we have seen many times before, but perhaps we've not given enough thought to it. Now, I know very recently we've been talking about this particular passage of Scripture, and over the last few lessons we've looked at it, and because of a comment that was mentioned this past Wednesday night, it warranted me to go back, and you're going to hear a part of the lesson that you're going to hear today you've heard before, because I wanted to bring back and reiterate, if I may, making sure that we're not losing focus. In Wednesday night Bible class, we were talking about failure, and we talked about many times in life that we can fail and we can miss the mark. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us that all sin and fall what? Of the glory of God. So we understand that that can happen. But the point came up that there was a guy named Peter. Peter was in a boat. There was a big bad storm that came up. And Peter looked out and he saw Jesus. He thought he saw Jesus. In his mind it was, but there was a little bit of doubt. And he says, "Is this you?" And Jesus says, "Yes, it's me." And he says, "Peter, come to me." Peter crawled out of the boat, got on the water, and began to walk. And he was walking on the water, wasn't he? You remember that? He was actually walking on the water and everything was just fine with him. Until he took his eyes off Jesus and looked upon himself. And when he looked upon himself for self-preservation, we know that Peter began to what in the water? He began to sink. Why do you think that took place? It took place because he removed his eyes from God. We talked about that just Wednesday night. And I thought, you know what, that's going to bring a good point that we need to remember. And I believe that would be a good lesson. So I want to make sure today that a couple of things. Number one, that we are not losing our focus on God. It is so easy with all the different things that take place in our world today, with all the different things that can grab our attention and the things that can show up in our peripheral, so to speak, and we kind of get detoured and we're focusing on that. When we're focusing on other things, brothers and sisters, we're not focusing on God. Amen? So I want to say this to you this morning. I know sometimes in my life, in my walk with Jesus Christ, and just like the Bible says, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That means that I'm part of that as well. And that means that you're part of that as well. No matter how righteous any of us may think we are, we're still going to sin. We're going to fall short. Amen? But that is not a license to continue on. That does not give us permission just to keep on living any way that we want to live. It was said before, well, you know, what is the difference? Well, the difference is a Christian can repent of those sins and move forward, amen, and stop practicing the intentional sin. But we have to be reminded, and here's the wake-up call, if I may, Hebrews chapter 10, 26, the Bible tells us if we continue to sin after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice for that sin. So I want to make sure today that we understand this. Don't lose our focus on God, amen? Say that with me. Don't lose our focus on God. So I want to show you a thrilling example of what we're talking about in this particular passage of Scripture. How many people right now are in Matthew chapter 26? Eight people's in Matthew 26? All of us, amen? All right, good. Are you ready to look at those verses, 31 through 46? All right, let's go. So we are in Matthew 26. We're going to look at 31 through 46. The Bible said, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is what?'" So that means it's a promise. This is going to happen. This is coming from above. This is the real deal. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you..." Now watch Peter's promise here, his proclamation, if I may. He says, "I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me." How many times, Heather? Three times. Very good. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And so said the other disciples. So many times we beat Peter up for that, don't we? Like, well, look what he did. Look what Peter did. But the Bible says, so did the other. But we only talk about Peter in that situation. But the Bible says the other disciples said the same thing that he said. Isn't that right? All right. Now watch this. Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, he said, "Sit right here while I go over and do what?" And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowfully and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to what?" He said, I need you to do something. I need you to stay right here and watch with me. Is that what he told him? Told them. Very good. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but you will." Then he came to the disciples and he found them what? And he found them what? Say it like you mean it. And said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me even 1 hour?" Go to 41. "Watch and pray, lest you enter to temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the Bible says the flesh is weak." Again, now watch this, brothers and sisters. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, thy will be what? Done." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, "I'm going to do what you're calling me to do." However, I don't think Jesus is too excited about what he's about to go through. Amen? I don't think he wanted to do that. But will he do it? Absolutely. 43. So thankfully, now remember, before we go any further, thankfully Jesus had how many people with him? And they were kind of behind him watching his what? Back. So we always tell people, don't worry, I got your back. Well, these three right here that Jesus talked about kind of give him an assurance that I got your back, right? Watch this. And he came and he found them. Give me the next two words. No, I don't think you saw that. 43, and he came and he found them. Give me the next two words. There it is, asleep again. It's not like this is the first time. It's not like this is the first time that Jesus had to come back. But he's come back and said, "Are you still doing this? Are you serious? I'm finding you asleep again." Watch this. "For their eyes were so what? Heavy." 44, "So then he left them, and he went away again, and he prayed for the what time? And he said the same words. Then he came to disciples, and he said to them, Are you," give me the next two, go. "Are you still sleeping?" You could almost hear Jesus' voice come out with some urgency, couldn't you? "Are you still sleeping?" Or perhaps he came out with disgust, or he came out with pity. "Are you still sleeping?" But I can tell you this, that Jesus' voice did not show me the voice of approval here, did it? So when we look at this, are you still sleeping and resting? "Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going." See, and he gives them the reason. What was the reason in verse 46? Only one person sees that. "My betrayer is at hand." So he's told them right there, here's the reason. This is right here. This is the problem. So when we look at what happened with those guys, I'm going to take up for them for just a second. I'm not against Jesus. I'm always going to be on Jesus' side. But I want you to go back to those three individuals that was carried with Jesus. Do you think that they intentionally thought, "Well, Jesus is over there praying, I can get me a little shut-eye right quick. I can cop me some Z's real quick while Jesus is doing that"? I don't think that was their intent. What do you think? I think that even when Jesus came back and he found them asleep and he got onto them, I think maybe they were like, "Okay, you know, okay, I'm up there now, I'm here." And he came back and he found them asleep again, and he came back and found them asleep again. I believe today that's a strong message to us. Do you agree with that? Jesus has called us to do what? To follow after him. He's called us to protect him as he protects us. What do you mean, Jerry, protect him? God doesn't need us to protect him. Jesus doesn't need us to protect him. That's a bunch of baloney. He does need us. He needs soldiers of the cross today to stand up for the word of God. Amen? He needs people today that will proclaim the word of God and not the word of mankind. We've got to get away from all these theories, and we've got to get away from all this man-made doctrine. We've got to get back into the oracles of God, brothers and sisters. And until we do that, this society will continue to spiral down. Do you understand that? So we got to get back. But here's the problem. The problem is there's so many preachers out there today, air quote preachers, out there today, they're just preaching for popularity. They're not going to dare preach on something that would contradict something, the life of a member or a family member, perhaps. When a minister, when a Christian is baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you come out of that watery grave of baptism, you accepted the responsibility of being a Christian, didn't you? It is not free. Who in here thinks it's free? There's been some preachers that's lied to you in the past. There's been some parents that have lied and said, "Oh, Christianity is free." Liars. I don't think they intended to lie. I don't think anyone maybe intentionally tried to mislead you. But Christianity, brothers and sisters, is not free. It cost God his Son. It cost Jesus his life. And it warrants you and me to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and do what? Thank you, Michael. And to follow him. Here's what I want to share with you about that part. I'm convinced that these individuals, these three that we just read about, I think they took their eyes off Jesus. I'm convinced today, did they need a wake-up call? Yes. Do we need a wake-up call today? Yes. Even those that are active in Christ Jesus, could we be doing a little bit more? Is there always room for improvement? Is there something I could do maybe a little bit better? Are there some habits that I need to break? Are there some places I frequent I need to quit going? Is there evil association? There are a plethora of things that you and I can look at in our own walk with Jesus. Amen? Does that make sense to you? So do we need a wake-up call? These three did, didn't they? So we'll look at this. All right, let's keep going. Are you at Matthew 5:16 by chance? All right, so I'm thinking today, I'm talking about me. You're probably part of this too, or some of you are. But I believe today that we all need a wake-up call to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works, right? Do that passage with me, Matthew 5:16. The Bible says, let your light... Okay, but you know what? Are we all doing that? You answer that to yourself. Are you letting your light shine every single day? Are we glorifying God by the things we say, by the things that we do, by the way we act, by the way we react? I know I'm not. I'm not going to sit and tell you a lie because I know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they lied. I know you're not the Holy Spirit, but you've got the gift of the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. Amen? But I can tell you that I'm striving, that I'm trying. I'm trying to do the right thing every single day. But because of the human element of me, I do fail. I do fall short. But again, that's what warrants this lesson today. I, Jerry Ladd, need a wake-up call every now and then. Jerry, wake up under the righteousness of God. Wake up and do the right thing. Take the high road on some situations. But my selfish ways, when somebody says something against me or against my family or something I didn't like, I'll get him. It might take a while, but I'll bring it back up. Somehow I'll get my 2 cents in. That's about what it's worth, is 2 cents. Amen. Let's just let God handle it. Take the high road. It's time to wake up. It's time to drop the grudges. It's time to drop the hatred. It's time to quit carrying malice and grudge in your heart. Let it go. And let who have it? Let God have it. You're not big enough, and neither am I. If we're carrying grudges and we're doing all that, I promise you it's time for a wake-up call. Amen? And you're also limiting. You need to listen. If you're hanging on to those feelings, you are limiting God on what he's able to do in your life and in the lives of others. Does that make sense? So are we today asleep in our walk with the Lord? Or are we wide awake? Sadly, there are some folks today that profess Christianity. They claim Christianity. They claim they have on the breastplate of righteousness, but some of them are sound asleep. You ever heard that expression? Oh, he or she, they sound asleep. Some individuals are dozing off. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm kind of involved in the church. Just kind of dozing off. Others are catnapping. Whenever a church work comes up, whenever there's something needs to be done, that's a convenient time to take a quick catnap, isn't it? Wake up, kitty. No more catnapping, right? Y'all didn't like that, did you? Good. And some are just drowsy while others are in a coma, right? Some of them out like a light. And I used to love it. John's dad, Tim, before he passed away in 2011, when he was a kid, I was a kid, I did some horrible things. When Tim would sleep, I don't know how he did later on in life after he got married and had John, but I can tell you, when he was a kid, you could do anything you want, he'd never wake up. If he lay down with his shoes on, I could tie his shoes together. I could take money out of his pocket. He used to smoke, and I would take his cigarette lighter and hold it captive until he would buy it back. John, you remember those stories? But he could do anything to him. He was in a coma, we used to call it, dead asleep. And then there's other people like Dana. When you tried to go take things from her, she always had one eye open. I said, why do you do that? How can you stay awake? And she would say, even as a little girl, I've got 4 brothers. And I'm like, oh. Anyway, the reality is there's some people in a coma. Friends and family of God, let us wake up, seriously speaking. Let us answer that call that Jesus Christ is calling us to. I remember what Paul said as he challenged the Corinthian church. I mean, there were some issues going on at the church of Corinth, and these people were claiming Christianity, but you remember what was going on with the Corinth church? There was a lot of sexual immorality, wasn't it? There was a lot of people trying to get involved in some idol worship, all kinds of garbage going on. But I want you to look and see what he told these folks over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 34. Are y'all ready? The Bible says, what's the first word? What does that mean? That means wake up, doesn't it? It's time. Open your eyes, Corinthian church. And here's what he's saying. Open or awake unto righteousness and do not what? Come on. Do not what? Sin. For some, watch this, do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your what? You are claiming to be the church. You know better. How many times have we heard that? We know better, and yet do we still do it? We know better than there are certain things that we should do that we're not doing, certain things that we shouldn't do that we are doing. We've got sins of omission, sins of commission, and the reality is, I like what Paul told this church at Corinth. I speak this to your shame. Talking to Jerry Ladd. When I'm falling short. When I'm missing the mark. When I'm allowing other things to take place. When I've taken my eyes off Jesus and I put it on myself. When I've taken my eyes off of God and I put it upon the world. I keep going back and hearing what Paul said to this church. I say this to your shame. I don't think God is trying to condemn us and take away and quench any spirit that we have left. But I believe this is a warning. I believe this is an encouragement. I believe this is a charge for you and me together, brothers and sisters in Christ, to wake up. Amen? Because we all need that wake-up call. I think about what was mentioned over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, around verse 1, where the scripture says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." We are ambassadors of Christ, are we not? Aren't we ambassadors if we're Christians? Aren't we spokespeople, spokespersons for Jesus Christ? Aren't we? So make sure that we don't remove our eyes off of God. Make sure that we accept that wake-up call. I like what Paul stated over in Ephesians chapter 5, 14 through 16. Michael brought this to you just a moment ago where the scripture says, "Therefore he says, awake you who what?" You remember who did Jesus just say that to a while ago? Who was where? In the garden of? Very good. He says, "Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Look at this. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise, redeeming the time." Why is that so important? Because the days today are nothing but evil. Very good, Courtney. Evil. So when we look at all these things together, we understand that it is high time that you and I wake up. It's high time that we remember what our eyes are looking at. Amen? Make sure that our eyes are focused upon God, not people. I could not care any less. And this is arrogant. I've always been accused of not having a bedside manner. That's fine. I don't care about having a good bedside manner. But my job is not to please you. It's to please God. Amen? Our job is to live for God and the righteousness of God. If someone's offended by my lifestyle, if I'm doing it right according to the Scripture, so what? You know, and then there's those other little weak vessels that says, well, if me eating meat offends you, I won't eat meat. I'm not trying to take anything in the Bible away. If it offends you that I eat meat, I won't eat meat. If it offends you that I'm living for Jesus, I'm going to keep offending you. Amen? That's the way every one of us should be. Wake up. Quit worrying about hurting somebody's feelings. Don't intentionally do it, but make sure that we are living our life for Jesus Christ. Because there's coming a day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "It is appointed once for man to die, but after this, say it. The judgment." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad." Thank you, Darlene. Whether good or bad, you're going to give an account for it. Amen. Keep your eyes on. All right, very good. Let's look at a couple short points real quick. So as we talk about a wake-up call, and how many of us think we need a wake-up call? Probably all of us. At one time or another, we need a wake-up call. When do you think we need it? Well, this isn't part of the first point yet. I need it when my anger and my immaturity is starting to take hold of me. Road rage. Anybody besides me? Traffic drive you nuts? Okay, thank you. Darlene and I are the only two and Michael. So the rest of y'all are going to come forth at the end of the service and repent for lying. If you drive in Nashville, it gets crazy. Do you understand that? All right, ask Harvey's son, who's a paramedic that drives up and down the road on an ambulance, how crazy people are. He'll tell you. But listen to me, seriously. We need a wake-up call from living a lukewarm life. I'm afraid, seriously speaking, I'm afraid that far too many people who profess Christianity live in a lukewarm life. Well, how do we know that? I want you, if you don't mind, to look in front of you, kind of look around you, and I want you to see the number of empty pews that are here. And I want you to see how this community is now crown packed. Amen? Somebody's living a lukewarm life, aren't they? I got family members living a lukewarm life. Am I proud of that? No. I hate that. It makes me sick to my stomach to think that there are people in my family that God is second, third, fourth, and fifth. I got people in my family that hasn't darkened the door of a church building in years. You think I'm proud of that? No, it hurts my heart. But then I've got family now. I think about my nephew John, who his whole life has changed. He's coming to the Lord's church. He's talking about the righteousness of God. What a wake-up call for John. John, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I thank God for you, buddy. And this congregation does. And I know the angels in heaven are rejoicing him coming back to the Lord. Amen? And look at the example that's setting. Blake knew about motorcycles, and he knew about different things, and he knew about guns, and he knew about different things that him and his dad are so close to. But you know what? Blake's learning about church now, isn't he? And so when you think about what's happening, this is what I'm talking about in wake-up call. We all need wake-up call. Amen? And our own families need it. We need to quit living a lukewarm life. It just seems to me that when we hit trouble, when we hit difficulties, when we run into a wall, that's the time we start, oh, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord. And Lord, we love you so much, and we just need you to guide us through this thing, and we need you to direct us. And I'm not taking that away from you. Pray it all you want to. But let me remind you of what John 9:31 says. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God, does his will, he hears them. Do you understand? So what is that saying? That's saying you can't live your life as a heathen. Live your life away from God with no regard for what the Lord has to say, ignoring his commandments, doing anything you want to do, and then go to him in prayer and expect an answer. Amen? Now, I hope by now you're pretty ticked off. Because if you are, that means that the Scripture's convicting you. But I want to make sure that you read John 9:31. Don't just hear it from me. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, Brother Jerry, what about when I walk up the aisle? What if a person's on the outside of the body of Christ? And what if they're walking up the aisle and they're praying up the aisle before they're baptized? If that's the case, they were seeking God's will. Amen? You get that? So don't try to become legalistic. Just listen to what the Bible says. Amen? All right, good. Are y'all ticked off? Good. Okay. All right. Now, living a lukewarm life, is that acceptable in the eyes of God? I think it is. I think you guys are wrong. Larry talked about it. Larry Cochran said it was completely okay until we read Revelation, wasn't it, Brother Larry? He never said that. Let me clear that up before I get in trouble. Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 22. Y'all with me? This is regarding a church. Surely to goodness, Brother Jerry, that there's no churches could ever be lukewarm, right? There's no way that a church could ever be lukewarm. Somebody get on to me. What about the church at Laodicea? What about that church, Chris? They got lukewarm, didn't they? Now, do we think for one second that the church at Laodicea was acceptable in God's eyes? No, that's a great big old no. Why? Because they was not hot, they were not cold, they were... Thank you, Heather. Let's look at it so you won't say Jerry said. And the angel of the church of Laodicea is right. These things says amen. The faithful true witness is the beginning of creation of God. I know thou what? That you are neither cold nor what? Hot. Watch this. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, this is what Jesus says. This is what who says? Thank you, Teresa. What did he say? I will vomit you out of my mouth. That word vomit, we don't like to think about it, but it means rejection, doesn't it? It is being put out. It is no longer part of my body. Yes or no? So Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea, I'm about to shut you down, brothers. He's not going to allow a church to be like that because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have a need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyesalve, that you may be able to see. Look at 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous. And he's telling them right now, you better what? Thank you, Teresa. You better repent. You better get these things right. Now, we don't need to go ahead and go any further on that one. But the reality is, there's some issues there, isn't it? It's a church. It's lukewarm. Now, if God, and we saw that, was going to shut the church at Laodicea down, don't you think for one second that he won't close JA down? Amen? If we're a lukewarm congregation, if we are a lukewarm member of his body, I promise you he'll shut us down. Do you understand that? You don't have to worry about COVID getting us. You don't have to worry about somebody coming through the door as a mass murderer. God can push one button and it's done. Do we understand that? Let's make sure that we are not like the church at Laodicea. Is that all right with everybody? This is a wake-up call, not implying that we are. I think we're a good little church, good little congregation for the Lord's church. But there's always room for improvement, isn't it? For the preacher, for the leaders, for the members, we can all improve. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Think about this passage. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9, 2 and 3, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for the travelers, that I might leave whose people? My people, and go from them for here." And he tells a reason why. Now, listen to what Jeremiah is talking about. I think we just got to look at this one. He says that I'll leave my people and I'm going to go from them. What is he simply saying? I'm about to put them on their own. I'm about to cut them loose. I wonder why. Why is he acting like that? And I'm going to get away from them. Here's why. For they're all what? An assembly of treacherous men. Verse 3, "And like their bow, they have bent their tongues to do nothing but what? Lie." Watch this. "They're not valiant." Well, ooh, look at that. "They're not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to do evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord." Their whole mind is focused on themselves and evil. They've taken their eyes off of God. Is this a good wake-up call? Okay. So I want to make sure of that. These folks, listen, they grew away from the Lord, and their hearts were far from the Lord. So let's be sure by your everyday walk of life, and my everyday walk of life, that we are staying hot for God. Amen? That we're staying on fire for the Lord. That we continue to possess the zeal that we have to please the Lord. That's why I believe what Paul wrote to the church of Colossae over in Colossians chapter 3, around verse 17, where Paul explained to these boys and girls, he said, "Hey, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through who? Through him." Who's the him? Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you like that? All right, very good. So, are you awake? Today, are we fired up for the Lord? Are we willing to do what God is calling us to do? Do we need that wake-up call? Do we need to be reminded you cannot serve both God and mammon? In the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible is very clear about that. I love the last part of that verse. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So make a choice. Wake up. Make the choice. Which one do you want? Do you want God? Do you want heaven? Or do you want to be able to be ruled by the devil himself and reside in hell for eternity? I can't change what your destiny is. Only you can. But God woke me up. His word shook me. It woke me up. And my chief desire is to be with God in the heavenly host. I don't like being around adulterers. I don't like being around fornicators. I don't like being around drunkards and idolaters and all that kind of stuff. I sure don't want to be with them for eternity. Amen. We got to put up with them here. I don't want to put up with them for eternity. I want to go to heaven. I want to be right there at the throne of God. I want to be there with Jesus and all that have went before me. That's my desire. That's my chief desire. I hope it's yours. But until we wake up, until we see the burning desire, until we take that wake-up call from God, I'm afraid that we've got problems. Amen? So this is your wake-up call. You ready for your second point? Did I ever give y'all the first point? I did not? Okay. We need a wake-up call. I don't want to give you that first because I'm going to tie it in because I'm going to cut where time's running out. It's okay if I tie it in, Jared. You don't want me to? Okay, I'll get with you in a minute. Let's go to the next point. Let's go to this point right here, if that's good with everybody. Are we good? Okay. I want us to make sure as we talk about getting the wake-up call and doing what God is calling you and me, I believe that we need a wake-up call regarding sharing the gospel with other people. Do you think that's important? Now, many times you might have heard that before. Many times we talk about, what do you mean it's time to share the gospel with other people? That's why we hire a preacher. I said this in last week's lesson and 3 weeks before that. We are all preachers. Chris, y'all remember that I said this last week. I said, Chris and Courtney preached a lesson this morning to their neighbors that church attendance is important, that loving God is important, that God loving us is important, isn't it? Well, we need to make sure that we're able to share and willing to share the gospel with other people. It's time to wake up and begin doing that. Friends, the Bible is very clear on how you and I are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. I'm reminded of what the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 28. Anybody ever been there before? Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, where Jesus gives us some pretty clear instructions. And he says what? He said, I need you. I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, this is what I need you to do. I want all these Christians to go and make disciples of all the what? Starts with the N. Nations. And then people like you and me may say, well, how do we do that? He said, this is what you do. You baptize them. Isn't that what he said, Brother Larry? You teach them and you baptize them. And once they're baptized, you just drop them like a hot cake. And that's what we've kind of done in our time. And you leave them alone and just let them swim or drown. You let them live or die. Don't matter at that point. Just baptize them and let them go. Isn't that what we've been doing? Kind of. We baptize them, we give them a hug, we let them take the Lord's Supper, we tell them, oh, how proud we are, but then do we continue to feed them the first principles of Christianity? No, we expect them to know who Ezekiel is and why Solomon's porch was big, and we expect them to know all the different laws. The reality is we need to continue to feed these people, amen, because we need to feed them. We can't take a baby and give a baby chopped steak and baked potato, can we? We got to give them a little bit at a time. And then they have to grow to be able to chew and to be able to swallow and to be able to digest. Is that right? That's what we have to do. If we overwhelm a new Christian, how long do you think that person's going to be a Christian? Not long. That's why Jesus says what he does, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Now, let me tie that first point back. You remember a while ago, I was talking about the church at Laodicea. And the reason I wanted to kind of delay this is for this reason. If we're not willing, seriously, listen, if we're not willing to share the gospel with other people, we're being a lukewarm congregation. Amen? So that first point, remember on the first point, I believe it's time to wake up and make sure that we're not being lukewarm. Okay? Secondly, be sure that we're willing to do what? Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes or no? Mark 16, 15 and 16. The Bible says, and he said to them all, go into all the world and preach the what? He did not say in any shape, form, or fashion, preach what you think is right or wrong. He did not say, preach what your dad or your mother taught you or your brother or your sister taught you. He said, preach the gospel. Thank you, Dana. Preach the gospel to every creature. That means don't discriminate. Teach everybody, even somebody that we don't like. Anybody in here got people you don't like in life? We got a lot of people lying. I got a bunch of people I just cannot hardly stand. Do I want them to go to heaven? Absolutely. But there are people that we're never going to be chicken-eating buddies. We're never going to be sitting across a table from each other. But the reality is we got to love their souls, amen? And we should be sharing the gospel with everybody. Well, how do I do that, Jerry, if I don't really like the person? You think it's possible to love their soul and not like the person? I think so. I absolutely think so. The reality is this, we've got to share the gospel. Well, if I don't want to talk to that person, how do I share the gospel? By my actions. How do I share the gospel? By letting my light so shine before men that they may see my good works, glorifying God in heaven. So just doing what he's calling me to do in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So I want to make sure today that we understand it's time to wake up and share the gospel. I know you've heard this old weak analogy for years and years and years, but I'm going to share it with you again so that way you'll be good and tired of it. You remember, as people, as Christians, remember what that old adage is? We are to be fishermen of men and not keepers of the aquarium. Remember that? So we've got to make sure. Let's continue to go out and let's continue to fish. The third point I want to talk about this morning is this. I'm convinced that there are others that need a wake-up call regarding associating with evil things. Associating with evil things. Now, could an evil person be an evil thing? I think so too, Heather. It's an evil thing what he just did. It's an evil thing what she just did. It's an evil thing what he just said. It's an evil thing the example that he or she just set, right? So we've got to be very careful about this evil. When an individual looks at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Well, what does that mean? That means we've got a lot of influence, doesn't it? And who's a negative influence come from? The negative influence comes from, ooh, y'all scared me for a minute. God, Jesus, two of his disciples, and one apostle, three of his friends, and two of the deceased. No. The negative comes from the devil. Is he the one that creates doubt? Is he the one that tells us we're going to fail? Is he the one that tells us you can't do this? Is he the one that tells us you don't have to be at church to go to heaven? Really? Well, how about Acts chapter 2, verse 47? How about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? But then there's those people, those old country people. Oh, I tell you what, bro, Jerry, I think we can go right out back right there behind the shed and go to heaven just as easy. You can go to heaven. Well, I hope that works for you on judgment. I have to, this warrants this question. Why in the world, if someone loves God, are you going to have to be begged and pleaded with to come to the church? Amen? Because if we love God, you ain't going to have to be begged and pleaded with. Let me use that good grammar. You ain't got no way of having to be begged and pleaded with to have to come to church. I love my family. Paula doesn't have to call me and say, honey, hurry up and get home. When I leave that funeral home, I'm on my way home. When I have an opportunity to meet with my child and my grandchildren and my family, they don't have to beg me. You know why? Because I love them. Amen. And if I love the Lord, you're not going to have to call me and say, Jerry, what happened? You okay? What's going on? Here's your bouquet of flowers. Here's your box of candy. Here's your two get well cards. Here's your encouragement card. We sure miss you. Hope and pray everything's okay. God loves you and I'm trying. We shouldn't have to do all of that. Amen. Now, is it okay to be recognized? Is it okay for someone to show that they care? We better show that we care. Amen. I'm not taking that away. But if you're one that is warming the pew today and you don't want to be here, then today, I think today of all days, I need you to come up front here in just a moment. Let me pray for you. Because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not righteous, but I'm righteous in God's eyes. Amen. And these people are righteous in God's eyes. When we love the Lord, we're going to do what He's calling us to do. Does that make any sense? In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, the Bible talks about the world passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father, the Bible said, abideth for how long? Anybody know? The Bible says forever. Thank you. Let's just kind of look and see what the Scripture says. The Bible says you're going to abide forever. But if you're in love with the world and the things of the world, what's involved in that? You remember what the Bible says? I think there's like three things listed. Maybe the lust of the eyes. Say that louder. The pride of life and what else? Three of them. That's only two. There we go. So now we have three, don't we? So, and those things are passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, the Bible says, abides for how long? Thank you, Bobby. Abides forever. Bobby just saved himself from having to come up here and read from up here. Because I'm going to walk. All right, Bobby, come on. And then at the end of the service, y'all would have said, Jerry moved to California, didn't he? Okay. So the reality, seriously speaking, brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we're willing to wake up for Jesus Christ. Wake up for the cause of the Lord. Is that right? So be careful that we're not associating with evil things. Over in the book of Galatians, I wonder if Brother Larry's hearing any of this. In the book of Galatians, chapter what? Anybody know? Uh-huh. Galatians chapter 5, look with me at 19 through 21. Let's be sure that we're not in love or deep association with the evil things of the world. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The reason that Brother Larry and I laugh every time is because he totally punked me out on this passage before. I was trying to quote it, and he goes, okay, Jerry, where was it? And I went, then he asked, do you have a cavity? What's going on? Why are you doing that? And then I said, you'll never get me again on this one. But anyway, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Is everybody there? The works of the flesh are what? Which here it is, it's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, disarrays, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things may not, don't start on me, y'all sound like Harvey, all right, those who practice such things may not, there you go, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to inherit. What does that mean? That means stop this practice. Amen? Now, Don't go around saying, well, I think if I do this, I do that, God may excuse. He's not going to excuse it. Wake up. This is your wake-up call right here. Amen. This is your wake-up call. This is my wake-up call to the weaknesses that I've got, to the habits that I've got, to whatever you may have today, whatever that addiction may be, whatever that element is. Today is the wake-up call. And I'm so thankful that one of our church members Wednesday night reminded me about, hey, be careful. I think that happened with Peter because he took his eyes off of the Lord. I think things happen with us because we take our eyes off of the Lord. Amen? All right, so let's get ready to wind this up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. This passage of Scripture is going to make it very easy for you. The Bible says, abstain from every form of what? All right, we're going to conclude our lesson now, okay? Okay, just want to make sure. All right, so as we conclude, I believe that we need, as Christians, we need to do what God's commanding us to do. That's our closing remarks. We need to do what God is commanding us to do. One of the things that He's commanding us to do is to be involved in His Word. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul was very emphatic, if I may, about what he was telling Timothy, that young preacher. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing his word. The New King James Version says, be diligent, doesn't it? To make sure that you're doing what? Studying His Word. Why is that so important? You remember a while ago, I said, you don't listen to mankind. We don't get caught up in what man says. We go by what God says. You remember that? There's no way of you knowing what God truly says if you're not involved in His Word. Do you remember what Peter said over 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18 about studying and growing in God's Word? The Bible tells us to grow in His Word, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't He? Make sure that we grow. How do we grow? By eating and digesting the Word of God. That's how we grow spiritually, yes or no? It is time for you and me to wake up and study the great Word of God. I remember what the great psalmist said in 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. If you stay in that same chapter and you go back to around verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. That great psalmist is saying, this is what gets me through my difficulties, my challenges, my downtime, my anxiety, my depression, all these things that I'm up against. This is what gets me through it. The Word of God, amen? The love of God, the encouragement of God, the strength of God, because I can do all things through Christ who... All right, let's close. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to try that again. One of these days I'll learn how to speak. In 2 Corinthians, okay, we're going to start all over. In 2 Chronicles, I'm going to get that out in a minute. I'm hung up with Paul in that Corinth church. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14 and 15. Well, I want you to see how prayer is so powerful, okay? All right. So the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves, and then they pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, I'm going to hear them, and I'm going to heal them. Is that what he's saying? I'm going to heal their land. That's what he's telling us. If we'll just listen to him, if we'll just turn from our wicked ways, face God, and do what he's calling us to do. Now my eyes, look at this, verse 15. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers in this place. So listen, as we close, this is your wake-up call. 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't you dare let Satan get a hold of you today. Don't you let Satan start convincing you. Boy, Jerry's talked 5 minutes over. We didn't start the 10 after, so quit crying. All right, is that all right? Good. All right, so don't let Satan start putting little things in your mind. Don't let him put the things in your mind, well, I disagree with what that was. We don't really need to be here all the time. Yes, you do. We need to get, this is our strength, isn't it? This is how we grow. Today, if you're not a Christian, don't you dare let Satan keep you in that pew. You get things right. This is your wake-up call. There's a day coming that you're not going to live anymore. Do you know that? Our physical bodies are going to die. But we will live eternity with God or with hell. You choose this day who you're going to serve. As far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? That's what we're going to do. So let's close. Today, if you're not a Christian, become one. Hear His Word. Well, I gave it to you. I assure you that I gave you the Bible. Do you agree with that? Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, be faithful unto death. Always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you are a Christian, You know, at one time you became a Christian, but you went back into the world. You got just kind of blinded by things. You had that peripheral issue came up. You went back into the world. You want to be restored, walking again in the newness of life, leaving those double doors right back there, knowing your life is right in God's sight. We'll be glad to help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation, you're invited to come right now as together we stand and we sing.